Today is actually one of my favorite Sundays. A few years back, I was really praying about what series to do, what was coming up, and I was talking with another pastor friend of mine, and he said something along the lines of, you know, your people's story matters. You should let them talk about their story. And if you've not been here a long time and you're visiting, I'm very picky about who I let stand up here. I take this responsibility with at the utmost highest that I have, speaking into lives on, you know, as a voice of God, as on behalf of God, is to me a huge responsibility. And so I took five people the first year, and still now 5 or 6 years later, everybody still has the same look when you ask them, "Hey, will you share 5 minutes?" The same look that you see right before you smack that deer that's in the road, you know. And in my mind, I'm thinking, it's 5 minutes. Like, I'm just getting warmed up in 5 minutes. But always, they take a breath and they come back and go, "Yes." And I think we begin to realize that our stories matter. And year after year, we've had five people, and they begin to share their stories, share whatever God's laid on their heart, and now watch God begin to tie the story together. And that God somehow takes five people, and nobody knows who they are but me. Up until this morning, each other didn't know. So there's no coordination, but I'm just going to challenge you to open your hearts and listen. And listen to people's stories, and let it challenge you to share your story. You might be next. Don't say no. I can be persuasive. But open your hearts and let your story change lives. Remember the verse I said during worship. This is in Revelation. The Bible says in Revelations that your story, my testimony, that they triumph. It's talking about the Christians who finished the race by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by what? The word of their testimony. That's just your story. I tell young people there's one thing only that people can't take away from you, and that's your testimony. People can make up all kinds of stuff about you, say things that aren't true, make up things that you did that you didn't do, but nobody can change your testimony. Only you can. You have the decision to make to change it and use it as something that God can use as power or live it in a way that God says, "This is not what you want." And I want to be on the life-changing end. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm not going to make you stand every time, okay? But here's my expectations. When I introduce the people coming, and I'll come back between each one, I want you to cheer for them as if it's your own son, your own daughter, your own mother. And I know from my own mother, who's a tiny, she's not very big. When I was in high school, on all of my football videos, you could hear my mom screaming. And she would scream, "Kill him, kill him, kill him. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Help him, Jesus, help him, Jesus." I expect to hear that kind of passion as people stand up today and share their lives and share their testimony. Amen? Amen. Can we do it? Amen. Online, y'all can do some emojis or whatever it is you do online, and we'll show them some love. All right? All right, here we go. Our first one, I asked him last. I didn't want him to give him time to bail on me. But I've watched God begin to work over with him in his life over the last couple years, especially the last 6 months. And so now here's your test. I want you to give a big welcome for the first 5 minutes, Mr. Josh Bolton. Yeah.
Yeah, when he asked me, I had to make sure that he was actually texting the right person. But I wanted to get into dip into the book of Jonah a little bit, and it talks about how God spoke to him in the beginning and that he told him to go to Nineveh. Is that right? Nineveh. And he said, "Go speak to them that their, you know, sin, proclaim Jesus to them and tell them to repent." And that's, so he got out, he went actually the complete opposite way and ran away from God, and that's kind of about my testimony. It's been thinking that I can do it on my own, and that I didn't need God, and it just got to, so Jonah goes out on the boat with, you know, other sailors and stuff like that to get away, run away from what God wants and God's will. And he said that he got out there and the waves started really crashing and roaring and everything was going wrong. And all the sailors were wondering, you know, who was sinning, what was causing the sin. And I feel like, you know, I was, when I was in that time, when I was running away, it's that I was, you know, hurting the people around me too. And, you know, it causes a lot of stress. And you have to get in a place where you're alone, you know, and really go one-on-one with God. And I had to get in that place where I just needed, you know, one-on-one. And I got there and was turning my life around this past couple months. You know, gotten a lot of help from people in the church and people outside of church. And it's been a real blessing. And I just, that's been my testimony and been living for God ever since. Because when we, getting that alone time, it's more of a sacred worship for Him, to get to know Him and let Him speak to you. And when, so Jonah actually, when they threw him off the boat to get in that alone time, there was a fish that swallowed him, and that was kind of his state where he was alone. And it like reconnected him, took him back to that one step on the right path with God. And so that's kind of been these past couple months for me. And when he got back on the right path, taking one step for God, he got back to Nevada, whatever how you say it. But, and then, so he got back on the right track, and that's kind of where I've been at these past couple months. And it's been, you know, a lot better.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that cannot pronounce the Bible names. It's Nineveh, by the way. You'll never forget Nineveh now. All right. Our next one is, I guess we'll be representing the family that they've grown close to us. I've loved to watch their heart. They share, they give, concern for others. We watch them kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of tiptoe into church and kind of like, I don't know about all this. But now, a few years later, this is home. And this is a place where their family is plugged in. So if you would, here's your second chance. I need you to give a good welcome and cheer her on for Miss Lacey Hunt.
Guys, just like Josh, whenever they text me, I was like, I'm not sure. Do they really want me to get up there? So God is doing more for me in my 33 years than he should have to do for someone their entire lifetime. I've come from a long line of temper, anger issues. I led a long life of, if you tell me I can't or I shouldn't have done it, I probably have done it. I was raised to be rough and tough. I grew up riding horses and being my daddy's right hand on the farm. I sure probably shouldn't even be alive at this point at some of the prodigies my daddy's had me on, even before probably kids develop fine motor skills. God definitely knew what he was doing whenever he put Jason in my life. This tall, dark, handsome fella caught my eye, and I was dialed in. We both wanted nothing more than to be married and begin our life together. We were parents 10 months later after being married, to be exact. So the day that my graduating class accepted their diplomas, we gave birth to our first son. Survivor mode kicked in for both of us. I dropped out of college, putting all of our dreams on hold of me possibly even going to vet school. We put it all on the top shelf. The statement of me and my child grew up together was a very true statement. For years, I had a lot of resentment, anger, regret left in my soul. I knew that this couldn't be all that life had to offer me. I had no reason to even feel this way. I had what I'd always wanted, a beautiful family and a healthy family. There were a lot of times that I was not such a great mom, probably even more of a horrible wife. I never said that I was sorry. I found out that I was so busy trying to fill all of my emptiness to the point that I didn't even enjoy my great life going on around me. I thought that I knew God. I prayed at supper every night and said my prayers before I went to bed. Who knew that there was so much more? My life was spinning out of control. If you can think of it, I probably did it just to numb the pain and try to feel something that I just felt like was lacking inside of me. Fast forward to January 10th, 2016. My friend Carlene wrecked less than 100 yards from my driveway coming to pick up her son that had spent the day with my guys. It was the rainiest, foggiest night that I can ever remember. I began to pray like I'd never prayed before. I just had this feeling inside of me that something was about to happen, and I didn't know what it was about to happen. So she passed away. My life became very just distraught. My marriage was in the absolute worst shape it had ever been in. We both didn't know what to say to each other anymore. I remember being in the barn one night and just having a complete meltdown and just feeling like I couldn't go anymore. I was just so physically, mentally, and emotionally just gone. I was mad at everyone, including my family, my friends. I was in such an angry rage at every moment of every day for absolutely no reason. I kept asking myself, how did I get here? How did my marriage become like it was? What were once two people on fire for each other, we couldn't even be in the same room anymore. My mama kept asking us to come to church. She didn't ever stop. Mama never said thank you for that, but thank you. Reed had even been coming to Believers with Mama and had even told me that him and people at the church had been praying for me and his dad. At that moment, I was so proud of him, but I was also just so ashamed. He knew what a hot mess his family was. I was supposed to be his mama's protector, not be causing him heartache. I finally agreed to come to church with them. I walked in those exact same doors that you did this morning. I came with all of my shame, guilt, anger, and bitterness. I began to ask my husband to come. We started on a brand new journey together. The devil has fought us every step of the way. Every Sunday morning, we may have been, cussing all the way to the front door, but we made it. Today, even Jason gets here an hour early. So we gave our marriage and gave our family back to God, and we aren't perfect. We're growing in his word and leaning on his promises every day. We owe it all to God. It's funny how the devil always reminds you of your past. June of this year, Megan, another close friend of mine, she actually lost her life in a car accident. Monday I had talked to her, and by Friday she was gone. Was this really happening again? The next few days, I couldn't help but feeling what I kept calling a brick wall of emotion. I expected to have all the anger and resentment that I'd felt for so long after Carlene's death. And I didn't actually feel that way at all. It really confused me, to be honest. Whenever I was leaving our grow group, which has been such a huge part of my relationship with God and just drawing closer to Him, He actually put someone in my path, and I'll call her an earthly angel with blonde hair. I shared with her how I was feeling, and I felt so convicted for not asking my friend about her salvation when I knew what her daily struggles were. That night, on the way home, I just felt like that God was speaking to me, and He was asking, why do you keep calling this a brick wall of emotion? Like, why do you keep saying that? Why can't it be that you have peace? I then realized what the difference was and how I felt before and after, now that I have a true relationship with God. The Holy Spirit was moving through me at that moment. How could I not stand and be bold enough to ask my family and friends about their walk with God? He had my attention. I immediately began to call some of my family and friends I'd known forever. And I asked them, you know, if they were to leave Earth today, have you accepted Jesus into your heart? The amount of peace that I had in that moment after those conversations, I knew I had obeyed God. And I knew that God had sent me to them. See, through Carlene's death, it ended up saving my family. Megan's death could end up allowing someone to spend eternity with Jesus. It's our duty as Christians to share God's love and stand bold in His kingdom. If God's love and grace could bring me out of my mess and could restore me and my family, I know that He can do the same for you. Let God in, surrender all of your problems, and commit your life to Him 100%, not just whenever it's convenient for you or whenever you're around someone that it benefits. Dive in 100%. Give it to Him, and hang on, because I promise that all His blessings are right around the corner, and there's so much more than that rut that you're in right now. Exodus 14:14 has always been very close to my heart. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And so anyway, thank you guys.
All right. Next up is somebody who you will know because she's on the stage as we do worship every week, and her and a couple other, well, actually her and Lauren Amison and Gina Tinsley are stepping in during our transition time in worship, and they're going to be tackling that and leading us each week. So the next one I've watched grow, I've known her for a while, her family, and I can say this, so before anybody gets... before anybody reacts to this in the wrong way, let me explain. Her family has been close to mine. Her grandparents have been grandparents to my kids. So much so that one of my girls one day said, "We need to see our grandparents." And I said, "Which ones?" She said, "The black ones." I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. So that's how close. It's been an honor to watch this family grow and watch them be a part of our church, and now being in leadership and leading us. So if you would, here's your third chance. Let's give a big welcome to Miss Shay James.
Good morning. How are y'all? So if I'm going to be honest here, my testimony could be very long, and I don't want to keep y'all here that long. So I'm going to start with by saying, like, my whole life, I didn't like people. I'm going to just say, I didn't like people. I didn't like being around them. I didn't like people at school. I didn't like it. I grew up in the church, but that doesn't mean I was there. I was there physically, but I was never there mentally or spiritually. I lost my mom at the age of 18, and that played a big role in my life. Around my eighth grade year of middle school is when, like, I started to kind of figure out who God was. And I never searched for him. He came to me through my circumstances. I moved in with my grandparents, and they've been taking care of me ever since I was in eighth grade, because my mama wasn't capable of doing it no more. I had a wavering faith. Like, one point, you know, I'll be all in for God and I stray away, and then I'll be right back in again and I'll stray away. And the first time that I actually felt God and felt his presence and I knew he was there for me was when this church, we went on a trip to Alabama to Motion 16. And I remember I was just so against it. I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to be there. I don't want anything to do with religion at all. And I remember being there. One of the lead pastors came out and said, just open your heart. Open your heart and let them in. And I remember the lights dimming and the song Place of Freedom going on. And I don't remember ever hearing that song. It was the first time I've ever heard it. But I just raised my hands and I was singing the song and I just felt God move through me. And then after that, I was in the church faithfully up here singing, not leading anything, but I was up here singing. And he was walking with me. He was walking with me. And he's been there. He's been there. Because there have been times where I would not have been here. I would not have been here if God wasn't there to speak to me, to talk to me, to walk with me through everything that I've been through. My mom, she was my everything, my best friend. I could talk to her about anything, and she helped me with my walk with Christ before she went to go be with Christ. Two really big books, verses in the Bible. One is Numbers 23:19, and it says that God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. And another one that speaks to me is Matthew 28:20. And the word says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. There were so many times in my faith where I just felt alone. I had my friends around me, my family around me, but I just felt like I was alone. And I felt like I didn't have anybody to talk to, but I would always find my way back to God because he never left me. He's always been there for me, and he won't ever leave me. And he loves me even if no one else does. Sorry for crying in front of y'all. But yeah, and I just want to continue to grow my faith in Christ. I don't ever want to waver from that. Thank you.
Great job. Great job. See, I'm telling you, just watch God weave all this together. Our next one, your fourth chance to stand up. Oh, no, stand up. Show him some love, is a guy who, he's actually one of our trustees. For those of you who may be new to the church, we have a local board. They're called trustees is what we call them. Their job is to set my budget, which I operate by, but I also use them as just a foundation of wisdom. And the next speaker is one of our trustees. I've told him before and told his family before that I love looking at his family because I see what happens when somebody serves God, loves God, teaches God, and teaches their family. That I see that in his family and in all the way through to his grandkids. a man that I trust his wisdom and go to for wisdom, even in my own personal life a lot of times. So if you would, let's give another big welcome to Mr. David Burke.
Good morning, church.
Josh, where'd Josh go? Shay, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm very impressed. You guys get up here and you go through your message, your testimony, without the first note. Me, as I've gotten older, you know, my memory is about like my hair. A lot of it's gone. So again, good morning. First of all, I'd like to start off by just telling you guys how much I appreciate each and every one of you. How much I really appreciate this church and what this church means to me. And just a couple of reasons of why I appreciate this church. I know we're not perfect, but I do think that we continuously strive to get better and try to be the vessel that God wants us to be. And the second, and this is really important to me, those doors back there, anybody's welcome to come through those doors. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, where you've been, and it don't matter what you might be doing today. Somebody's going to greet you with a smile and show love and welcome you here. And I am extremely proud to be a part of such a church. And my message this morning, I hope, is one of encouragement. And it comes from Galatians 6, 9, and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Two questions for you. Anybody besides me seem to just need a little more encouragement here lately? Anybody besides me just a little bit concerned of what they see going on in our country and the world and society today? You know, if I'm completely honest and transparent, I'll have to tell you, I'm concerned about a lot of things I see going on in our world today, in society today. The decisions that I face at work anymore just greatly disturb me. And they disturb me because I see more and more people pushing for different things, pushing for changes, pushing for new policies. And a lot of times, and most times actually now, it's got nothing to do with wrong and right. They're not pushing them for wrong or right. If you want to know the truth, they're pushing them for selfish ambition, for self-gratification. It's all about themselves. It's all about me, me, me. What's in it for me? It's very concerning to me. You can ask my wife, Sherry, you really want to see me get frustrated, get upset, actually get downright depressed? All you got to do, turn on TV. Any news channel you want to turn to. I'll get depressed real quick. It's very sad to me to see all the division that's being created, all the hatred that's being stirred up. And quite honestly, most of it is from selfish agendas. And honestly, some of it just downright evil agendas. Honestly, makes me just want to throw up my hands and quit sometimes. But you know what? I can't quit. Because of what Jesus, how much he loves me, what he did for me at that cross, I'm a winner. Quit is not an option. And for those of you that might feel the same way I do, you're winners as well. Quitting's not an option for you either. We can't quit because the church has to be the key in overcoming all of this. We as Christians have to be key in overcoming all of this. You know, I'm a big fan. Anybody familiar with Duck Dynasty? Phil Robertson. I like Phil. You know why I like Phil? I'm not the sharpest tool in the toolbox. But Phil keeps it pretty simple. And in his latest book, Phil puts it like this as far as what's going on in the world today. You know, so many people are looking to politics for solutions, but the truth is, the solution ain't politics. It's not, you know, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. That ain't where the real answer is. Phil puts it like this. The real answer is what he calls Jesus politics. And the world needs to actually see us practicing Jesus politics. They need to see Jesus in our daily lives and what we do. We need to be sharing his love to others. We can't grow weary for his name's sakes. We need to be the vessels that he wants us to be. So three things I just want to leave you with. Hopefully it encourages you, helps you. This is my go-to when I start feeling a little bit down and out. The first one is put God first in all areas of your life, not just church, not just on Sunday, in all areas of your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my favorite scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, for those of you older like me, go to the dictionary. Any dictionary you want to go to, look up the word all. And for you younger people, go Google it. All means all. No exceptions. All means all. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. Family, God first. Friends, God first. Finances, God first. School, God first. Work, God first. Do not let this world deceive you. There is no separation between God and anything, any part of your life. Number two, put others next. Their needs before your own needs. Love God and love others. Follow Jesus' example and serve others. You know, they say today that depression is actually the fastest growing sickness in the United States. I'm certainly not a doctor, but I do strongly believe this. The best medicine for depression is to simply go get busy helping somebody else with their problems. Try it and see how quick your worries disappear. And the third one is to be thankful. Miss Carolyn Taylor, raise your hand. You guys want to know how to be thankful? Go ask her how she's doing. Blessed and highly favored. That's always going to be the answer. And we're all blessed and highly favored. We need to act like it. Don't quit. Keep being that light that God has called you to be. And go make a positive positive difference in people's lives. Sunday through Saturday, every day of the week. Keep practicing Jesus politics and let the world know you're not of this world. Let them know who you belong to. Let them know that you belong to the one and only true King. Be like Daniel and his friends. Stand up for what's right, no matter the consequences. So God bless you, and don't grow weary. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. All right, your fifth chance. Now, I'll tell you this one is a story that you probably heard. And when I heard it, as it was progressing, I think it was before y'all even were church here, right? I didn't even know the family, and it just hit me. And Mel and I was like, we just need to pray. Like, this, we need prayer now. And I'm telling you, your story has power. And you're about to hear a story and a testimony that the devil tried to take away. That I believe, and I don't know if it may be a Billy Graham thing coming along, but he tried to take out something because God's got something big, not only for him, but for this family. So one more time, if you would, please give a big welcome and cheer her on for Miss Brooke Collins.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so Uncle David, I had notes, but Pastor Clint changed that for me, and I'm going to do the best I can not to cry much. So when I was asked to give this testimony, the story of Archer, sure, I got it. I'll give the story, and I got a verse picked out. And two or three nights ago, Pastor Clint messaged me and said, what's your verse? sent it to him. Oh, yeah, that's great. And he said, what about this one? And just off the cuff, random verse. And I don't think he realizes how spot on this verse was. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul's recounting a conversation that he had with Jesus, with the Lord. And he says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness, so the power of Christ can work through me. You see, on October 29th of last year, our 2-year-old son Archer was playing in the yard, and he was bitten twice by a 5-foot timber rattlesnake. We didn't know at the time, but one of the bites was actually into the vein, and within minutes, Archer was experiencing organ failure, respiratory distress, and all the blood in his little body was clotting. We had limited time to get to the hospital, and we began our way here to Scriven County. While in the car, Archer had a seizure and then became completely unresponsive. Thank the Lord, we passed the ambulance on the road. We passed Archer off, my husband, watching him carry Archer across the road. Archer was limp and lifeless. And as I got behind the ambulance on the next little leg to the hospital, I begged God to save my son's life. And when we got to the emergency room, they began working very quickly, obviously. There was a team working fast and hard to save his life. And I don't remember a lot in those few minutes. What I remember most vividly is while in the emergency room, I was in the room with him, and they pulled the curtain between me and him. And if you work in healthcare, you know what that means. And that's when I heard the AED crank up. And it was in that moment that I became weak. And I literally and physically fell to the ground and fell to my knees. And when I remember crying out to God, and I remember my mom being in there, and the look on her face was, I'm not really sure, she was just surprised that I had said it. On my knees in that emergency room, I cried out. I said, God, give me the test, and I'll give you the testimony, no matter what that looks like. And so this verse is very spot on. So that I'm here now to boast about our weakness so that Christ can work through me and hear our story. So within moments of me saying that, I heard, I hate to say celebration, but a little bit of celebration, and I hear them say, we've got him. And they started calling my name, and I go back behind the curtain, and they had a heartbeat. And the respiratory therapist was still bagging breaths into Archer. And I asked, could I touch him? And they said, yeah. So I remember putting my hands on him, and I didn't pray that God would save Archer. I told God, I said, we have a purpose. We're breathing life into this baby. In Jesus' name, amen, we will live. And I just repeated it over and over. And a few moments later, there was a whimper, and he opened his eyes, and he was back, and he was breathing. And it's from that moment forward that a lot of you know the story. You followed us on social media, and for every prayer, we can't say thank you enough. And so we were transported to Memorial, and we spent the next 6 days in pediatric intensive care unit. We were told that it would be weeks. We didn't know what we were looking at as far as his health, whether, you know, neurologically, physically. I don't want to get into a lot of that. Again, I post a lot on social media. What I will say about those few days is that I found myself so peaceful in those moments and in asking for specific prayer. And I would ask for prayer on social media and not just pray for my child. It was, we got this going on. And collectively as a community and God-fearing people, we prayed. And y'all, every specific prayer was answered. And so 6 days later, we came home with a perfectly happy, healthy, 2-year-old. No deficits. What I want to share with y'all are the details that a lot of you don't know, that I didn't know until later, and I think that's where the testimony comes in. And I don't think Lauren knew what she was singing or praying this morning so beautifully, that even when I can't see, you are working. So that day that Archer was bit, we actually woke up that morning, Claire had fever, sore throat, runny nose, all the COVID symptoms. So I had to cancel all of my patients, which included a late patient for that evening that I had agreed to take to get her to the doctor and tested. Had I been treating that late patient, I wouldn't have been at home. My husband would have been by himself. In the 10 minutes that we have been told that we had left between Archer's life and Archer's death would not have been possible. And wouldn't you know, Claire did not have COVID and she was not sick. So right there's one thing. God's working. We get to Scriven County Hospital. There are 2 vials of Crofab and a venom. Normally there's only 1 stock, but they had 2 stocked. A couple of days prior to Archer's snake bite, a man in Jenkins County had been bitten on the hand, and they had called over and asked to borrow one of our vials. Somewhere in the transportation of the vial, the man got transferred to Augusta University, and they didn't use it. What you have to understand there is that the one vial that Archer received, the first vial, it got him back. We needed to fly him fast to Memorial. It was too windy and we couldn't fly, so we had to go by ambulance. We would have never made it to Savannah, Georgia, without that second vial of antivenom. God knew what he was doing. He was working. Another very interesting part. Antivenom is a poison. It has to be approved by poison control, the use of it. They will tell the physicians how much, when, where, how, all that. When we passed Archer off to the ambulance on the side of the road, they called in his condition to our hospital, and it was very critical. Our team then here in Scriven County called into poison control to get approval for use of Crofab. They were told that due to his diminishing condition, he was not a candidate. Praise the Lord, Tina Hood was working that night. Tina Hood demanded to hire up a toxicologist on the phone. They put her on hold. Tina then reached out to a peer, got advice, and decided to buck the system and do it anyways. 46 minutes later, they came back on off of hold and approved the use of the Crofab. We were already on our way to Savannah. Tina Hood was supposed to be home that night recovering from a hip replacement. She had called her doctor the week prior and canceled it because she just didn't feel ready. I would hope that any physician would have made the same decision, but I can't promise that. God placed her there that night and everybody in our path and every step. And when I look back at it, I realize that long before Archer's ordeal, God was working. He had everything lined up in our favor and for the good of Archer. The best part, and I don't think really anybody knows this, is months later, so just a couple months ago, random Saturday, Archer looks at us and says, "I want to go play in the sky again." What? He said, "I want to play with Jesus again." And Archer then tells a story, not a story, but the story, of how he fell into the dark and Jesus saved him. That Jesus pulled him out and they floated into the sky. And he will tell you that Jesus played tractors with him. And to this day, he wants to go back and play with Jesus again. I will simply leave you with this. If you are ever doubtful in your walk, if you ever need a reminder of how good God is, please come talk to us. And let me tell you the story of Archer. who fought a rattlesnake and won. And in the words of Archer, will tell you, Jesus saved me, and he can save you too. Hey, Archer, who saved you?
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.